This is the 365 Message Center show. Today on the show, we're going to be looking at some high confidence phishing email, spam filter policy stuff. I've taken a good look at Microsoft Search and Q&A, so that's a good thing to look at. And our headline for today is the Teams Outlook email integration. Roll it.
The following episode was recorded live on YouTube. Check out our website at messagecenter.show for all of our episodes.
Good now, right now, wherever and whenever you are, this is Daryl as a Service, and as always, joined by...
Daniel Glenn. Hello, everyone. Glad to have you with us.
Yeah, it is definitely good to be here. How about you tell us a bit about what you're up to?
We're approaching the holiday season, where we celebrate things like Christmas and Hanukkah and various others. But things have been going on. I did some travel last week, as you know, we did the show live from Chicago. I was from Chicago. So I think this is going pretty well. How about you? How's Monday going for you? Or Tuesday, sorry.
It's Tuesday. Tuesday, today, we're having a team building, team finish the year off day.
Awesome.
Not only that, we're pulling the team together across a number of different disciplines, and we're going to actually be sitting together on the same floor now. So it's moving day too.
Okay. That's awesome. I think that's great. Can I take a moment now, Daryl? I think it would be a great time to say we also want to thank our show sponsor for this episode is Valo Intranet.
We'd like to thank our sponsor, Valo Intranet. Like us, Valo is a huge fan of Microsoft 365 and a friend of the show. So a big thanks goes to Valo. Valo Intranet solutions leverage the best that Microsoft has to offer and can dramatically improve your internal communications with their intelligent intranet solution called Valo Intranet. They can also help you take back control of your Office 365 group creation and maintenance, and a whole lot more with Valo Teamwork. Visit them at valointranet.com and book a demo or call today.
Thanks again, Valo, for your support. Do take some time regarding 365 people and followers to check out their products. It's really awesome how they're branching out to not just intranet stuff, but knowledge management and really helping you collaborate. Mm-hmm. Daniel, we do have a few messages to get through, and since I've got my new laptop, I've been trying to set up the old scenes again. Yeah, that really nice one we had with a message in the middle of us. Well, let's take a quick look first of all at the messages that we do have. Lay of the land. That could have been better. Let's expand that one out. That's better. Now we can see them. So about 9 messages.
Few.
And is there one in there which is also an update, letting people know that something's changed to the original message?
There's several, actually, that are kind of, hey, we said this previously, keep this in mind. So it's interesting for this week.
Yeah, definitely. We'll just have a quick look at this first one here. I know last week we tried to have a go at ordering these messages by message ID, which, you know, that's logical, and it also means that anything that's older and has been updated is going to should be at the bottom of the list. But it seemed that we had some differences, and I think that's a key thing to note. Yet another sign that to some extent our message centers are different, because we have different people. Different messages, different content.
Different content, yeah. That's right.
So let's get into it. The first one we have on my list, at least. I get to say that because I'm the one displaying my screen.
That's right. This is good.
Yep. The clutter for Outlook retirement update. Now, clutter was what we had for, I think, I'm going back to about 2014 is when, or 2015-ish is when it was released. That was the original thing that tried to help us with AI to get our mailboxes under control. But it the AI would push the messages to a separate folder. Now this is
right.
What we have now today is focused view and other view. And in clutter world, other was the clutter folder. Do you remember much about that, Daniel?
Yes. And I think clutter was that, like you said, kind of AI, the start of AI of trying to decide whether or not messages that made it through your spam filter were actually messages that you wanted. And so it was kind of in between the spam and your inbox. And it was, Google has something similar with their consumer product where it was, I think they have like a promotions tab or something like that. And I think it's kind of the same vein. But the people I heard from about, oh, I don't like clutter, is because it's yet another place I have to check, right? Because you got your spam, you got your quarantine, which is your, you know, the kind of initial place the email comes in your tenant in Office 365. And then you've got spam, and then you've got clutter, and then you've got inbox and focused inbox, right? Mm. Lots of things to look.
You could only have one or the other. So if you are choosing to use focused inbox, then clutter's turned off. Now, this message was going to be about retiring clutter.
Right.
And it was going to be beginning 31st of January 2020, so early in the new year. But it seems that some customers have really latched on to the way clutter works, potentially because it's a separate folder and not just a view of your inbox. And that maybe gives you a lot more control over that. So they didn't want to see clutter disappear. Microsoft have updated this message to say that they can keep using it, but we're not going to develop it any further.
Right. Yeah. And that's just the important thing to remember is that it's just not going to be updated any longer.
Now, I heard something similar to that. Another product, and perhaps more beloved.
OneNote.
Yep. We're not going to develop it any further. Let's just say that if there's enough of the community that do like clutter and that's the way you want to do it, voice your support and maybe it will get further development.
Right.
Who knows? Let's keep moving on up. We've got
high confidence
phishing email.
Yeah, high confidence phishing email. MC19803. This is just a reminder that, as communicated in a previous update, that the high confidence phishing email filter is going to be added to your policy by default, and that's going to be January 6th, 2020, so coming up pretty soon to be so that's going to be added. By default, it is the action is set to quarantine the message for all new and existing policies. So if you want to change this and you don't, you know, you want to make sure that you want to modify this, then you should change that selection before January 6th. So
I see some more options to control that content when it comes in. So when it's high confidence, that's saying we definitely know this is a phishing email. We are highly confident. And so rather than passing this through to your junk mail folder and allowing end users to potentially make that decision for themselves, you're keeping it right out of their path. And this is really important for phishing. You don't want people bumping into that. If they do go in and check their junk mail and within 30 days and everything's still there, they might potentially click on that phishing email. So if you're highly confident, then the service is going to help you take care of that.
That is correct. And there was one other thing I wanted to say about this. Oh, have you seen the quarantine email lately?
To be honest, I don't get a lot of them.
You don't?
No, I don't. And in fact, I've got to say, I wish there was some way of quarantining all the offers, the random offers from different Gmail people to say, I'd like to help you with your SEO and I've got web design skills.
Yeah.
Can we throw in a highly confident phishing or
sure you can.
Spam?
Sure you can. So the quarantine emails have changed and I don't like them. There's several other people that have told me how they don't like them. We used to get this table formatted. Now, it could have been cleaned up a little bit, and I agree with that. But there was separate links for things like release the message and add the sender, basically meaning this is a false positive, and I want email from now on to skip the quarantine. Well, that link's not there anymore. And, in fact, when you go into quarantine, that link's still not there anymore. It's gone. You can't select a message and say, I want – this is a good message and a good sender. It won't let you do that anymore. The email has become less helpful because of the removal of that link and another link that I've found pretty useful. But and it's kind of similar. So just wanted to say if you feel the same way, make sure you voice your opinion to Microsoft that – the quarantine email needs to have some of the options back. But just wanted to mention that before we move on.
And where would people voice those opinions and concerns? It's usually user voice, isn't it? So this one,
it is.
I expect, would be in the office365.uservoice.com. Mm-hmm.
That's right. That is correct.
Plan maintenance for Power BI. We don't usually talk too much about these messages. If you notice in this one, it is for Southeast Asia. So this is definitely my region. Did you have any maintenance for Power BI over your week?
No. Remember, we talked about this in a previous show. It was for the US and it has already passed and now you're getting it as well.
There you go. So again, another clue. It's mine. Mm-hmm. It's relevant to me. And I don't know. Like I looked at this and tried to figure out, it says, plan maintenance, and it talks about being outside of business hours. And I was going, is it really? Maybe.
Well, they make a point of saying we try to keep it outside of office, but a lot of organizations are worldwide, and so sometimes you can't do that.
And based in Southeast Asia, that is Hong Kong and Singapore. For us, not necessarily Australia, where New Zealand's data centers are. So that's 6 hours away.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, it's a bit harder to find that everyone is...
That sweet spot, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Right. Microsoft Search and a change to suggested Q&As. This is MC197943. Mm-hmm. It's been a little while since I've taken a look at Microsoft Search, or some may know it as Bing for Business, but it is a lot more than that. Bing is just one place that you can see it. Microsoft Search is really starting to appear in lots of different places, and if you've been an Office insider or you're on the targeted release, then you would have seen the Microsoft search bar appear even in the Office applications at the top. So now it's a place to not only look for, what was it called? Tell me what you want to do. So you can go in there and say, I want to do a certain formula, or I want to change my signature, and it'll guide you through there. But you can go there and search for people, search for content, search for sites directly from your Office bar. So Microsoft Search is becoming quite central, as it was said, I think about a year ago at the previous Ignite, it's arriving where you are and where you're working. Mm-hmm. But do you know much about Q&As for Microsoft Search, Daniel?
I do know a little bit, and I think for this update in particular, it's talking about Microsoft has in the past given you Q&As, suggested Q&As. For you, and it's talking about retiring that. Microsoft has gotten feedback to say, hey, we're not going to do that anymore, and we're going to allow you, to only, for you to do that. So this is, for this update in particular, it's talking about how, okay, if we do have suggested Q&As, maybe you need to go ahead and export those out so that you can, import those in for yourself. So for the Q&A feature, that suggested, again, that's bringing in a little bit of AI, a little bit of knowledge, computer knowledge, so to suggest items for that are answers for what people are looking for.
I came across a really good docs.microsoft.com article about setting up search and Q&A, Microsoft search rather. And there's a good flow there through of guiding you to find knowledge and the way that people might search for content within your organization. Mm-hmm. It's probably nothing new to knowledge managers. This is your bread and butter. This is you are subject matter experts of search. But for someone who's just glancing through this, maybe you are a small to medium business and you don't have someone who specializes in knowledge management. Maybe we'll drop that link somewhere. Oh no, we'll put it in the blog post that I created ahead of time. we'll refer back to that. But yeah, you may want to create your own. You definitely should create your own Q&As based on some of the knowledge that or the questions that people do ask, and therefore guide people through to not just the link that you want them to find, but giving them a brief explanation. Think of it like going to Google, searching for something, and you've got that kind of best bet at the top with a brief excerpt or explanation of what that page is about.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about helping people find knowledge quickly.
That's right.
Actually, you know what it did show me?
What's that?
Like a lot of people, they have those high expectations of search, and they go, oh, we should be able to just go here and it should give us the most relevant results, just like that. But we all know that search engines have a lot of help from people who develop their SEO. Well, this is how you do SEO, in a sense, for your organization. So take a look at optimizing Microsoft Search with creating Q&As.
That's right.
We have an update to Microsoft Teams coming to existing installs for semi-annular channel customers. This is MC198028. Adding Teams to your Office install is probably the short explanation of this.
And we talked about this a little bit initially when it was announced. The way Teams now is done, it's not part of the Office. So if you go to office.com and you're part of the semi-annual channel, meaning you have decided that your Office update should be twice a year and not every month, then when I go and download Office, I go to office.com, log in with my Office 365 credentials, I click, download to or the install Office link in the top right, I don't get Teams. This is changing, of course, to now say, I didn't get Teams in the past, but now I will be getting Teams delivered to me for existing installs that did that beforehand and didn't get Teams delivered as part of Office. Now I will be able to, they're coming back and saying, here's Teams for you now, since you didn't get it initially.
Thinking back on a bit of that terminology when it was click to run Office installs were a new thing. There was that term called slipstream. I know it's used in other ways of building drivers into computer builds and the like. We're looking at, I don't know if this is what they still call it, but slipstreaming that Microsoft Teams into your existing install so that you don't have to depend on people downloading it themselves.
Right. That's right.
We covered off the date, didn't we? So starting in July 2019.
That is right. Beginning January 14th there, and I'll be finishing up. It depends on when the update happens, but it's coming next month. So, July of this year of 2019 is when it was making it part of it. So if you downloaded it before then that's when Daryl, can I just take a side note here? I've been drinking out of this glass, and this glass is pretty awesome. It has the etching on it.
Something SQL, yeah.
It's SQL Saturday for Nashville. So coming up in January 18th is the SQL Saturday event. I help organize a little bit of it. Not, I don't lead it, but I help organize a little bit of the stuff and just generally helping out when I can. And I am also speaking at it. But if you go to SQLSatNash.com, so it's SQLSATNASH.com, you can see the event and register. It's free. You just pay for your lunch and come and see some fantastic content. I just wanted to mention that because I was drinking out of, and if you do attend, you will get a nice glass with etching of the logo and such. So there you go. I just wanted to mention that. Sorry for derailing us, but I just thought of it.
No, no problem. No problem. Hey, this next one's an interesting one. And I, you know, at a glance, I got it mixed up with the fluid UI framework, or I guess mm-hmm. it's not called framework, but all these great new UIs, app icons. We know that Yammer is also going to be, this is the first application, web-based application to use Fluid, but this is not Fluid, so I've just done an Irishman on you. the Fluid framework is something different again. It's actually... I would say that it's Gig Jam reborn. Do you remember what? Remember Aha. Gig Jam?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. So being able to it's collaboration in a different way on a document with a number of different activities that you might find in different products, creating task lists, creating documents, at mentioning people, creating all sorts of bits and pieces. The Fluid framework. Preview MC198089 is mm-hmm. kind of becoming to English US environments only to begin with. Was announced in November 2019, so that it was Ignite, and it's going to start appearing in tenants in the first quarter of 2020. Have you taken a look at Fluid Preview?
I have not. I'll go ahead and say I've seen the demos. I've seen, you know, what people are showed, you know, at Ignite, and I've seen some demos, but I have not actually used it myself.
I do have a demo I prepared earlier. okay. And I know it is definitely preview. There's nothing sort of flashy about the UI. Although I will call out, if you take a close look at the fave icon in your tab, it is a stylized different version of the Office icon, which I would say may be the Fluid UI framework or whatever you call it. Sorry, designers. But yeah, here's Fluid. And this is a new document which actually lives, I've saved it in my OneDrive. Mm. And it is quite a collaborative block kind of way of creating content. This is just a text line, but I can add and at mention people. We've got an action items list down here. Which is also created in a table, adding dates, checklists, bullets, and numbered lists. But it will, as we at mention people, from within a document, get their attention.
Yeah. And it's, so I know developers are pretty excited about just being able to do some stuff here. We end users get functionality like this, mm-hmm. right? So this Fluid is, yes, there's a back end that is powering some of this to so rejuvenating these apps and bringing this functionality. So Sebastian Leve in the chat is saying will be cool. So I agree. Having this capability, and it brings so much more capabilities to the apps. So Yammer, yes, but also working with all, you know, within Office and such. It'll be fantastic.
So this is all considered Fluid framework. It's not just the design side of it, which we've mm-hmm. all seen
right.
from that visible side of things, but it's also this experience here and a programming framework.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, yeah, definitely take a look at that. And you know, while I'm viewing this from Fluid Preview. From the preview site, mm-hmm. I believe that it's going to come in a greater capacity to US customers. So enjoy. I'll be a little jealous. I'll keep playing around with my little demo there, but maybe someone else can do a deeper dive on that.
Hmm.
Here's our headline for the week, and it's a big deal. A lot of people are really happy to see this because it's helping to bridge that gap in experience between working in teams and of course continuing to work in Outlook. This is Teams Outlook email integrations.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because there's
yes,
plural.
That's right.
MC198124. Take us through some of this list, Daniel. There's a couple of ones there that are definitely my favorites.
Yeah, so first off, we got share email to Teams. So if you have an email, being able to share it into Teams, share a copy of an email and any attachments from Outlook to a channel or chat, that's a one-on-one chat. Share a conversation via email, so going the other way. Share a copy of Teams channel or chat conversation via email. That's from directly within Teams client. Reply to Teams missing activity emails, and I'll talk about that one in a second. I think that may be one of my favorites. An ability to respond to Teams missed activity emails directly within Outlook clients. And so that's those last two bring some – I don't know if that's on your favorites list, but
– Oh, yeah.
For the other four, I guess, on the top there, where we're sharing back and forth from email into Teams and then Teams into email, it's great functionality. I love it to be able to say, hey, this conversation is going on in Teams in email. So can you please join in or whatever? Add this to, I don't know, if you want to bring it out of Teams, but then bringing conversation into Teams, I think is, hey, I just received this email from the client. Let's discuss it. You know, stuff like that. I think I'm definitely going to use it that way.
We can share email into Teams today. Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
if you read that line, you might think, oh, there's nothing new to that. We can grab a channel email address and drop something in. But mm-hmm. I like that for the one-off sharing. But I see even with our own team, some people misuse that and they will drop mm-hmm. that email
right.
address into the CC.
Yes.
Creates a new message for every single reply. So I think this is more about making it easier from within Outlook to push that message to the appropriate location and team.
Agreed.
I'm really interested to see what that looks like. I probably need to watch an Ignite video about that.
I think I agree with you. I've had that same issue where you CC, you know, you start, oh, this has to do with that. And of course, okay, we'll need to add that email in. It's like, no, I've already got the email. I don't need Teams to have it as well. So you have, you know, conversation, every single, you know, reply in there. So I think this will help with that work flow, that flow of work.
One day that might actually thread.
Yeah, maybe, you know, I think that there might be some, I can understand the difficulty of having that threading. Especially if you don't want it to thread. But what I'd really like, that brings me to the comment of in Teams, I would really like to thread a message once it's been added and not in a thread, like thread it or unthread it. But anyway, that's
all these sewing analogies. It's just,
yeah, that's right.
So we can see we can send email to Teams. We can send emails from Teams. Yeah, so like we're having that conversation, as you said, you've just explained earlier. Here's a copy for someone who's not part of the team that will be benefit from that. But the reply to Teams missed activity emails and responds to Teams activity emails, they're kind of one and the same or together.
Right.
That was a pretty cool demo too. Tried to add that as a GIF. I think I left it in there in the post.
Yep, you did.
Yeah. So you're seeing a missed email, and look, this is another thing that's difficult for those of us. You know, we might have missed a chat or something. You probably get 5 or 10 of these a day, and so you become accustomed to them, and accustomed to ignoring them. and you know, so you really just you kind of just go into Teams and then check stuff when you need to, or if you've missed it. But what I don't like about the current missed email is that if I'm reading it in my let's come in here, mobile, and you can see part of it. The trick that you don't realize this, but the email format is if you flip it around and your phone shows it landscape, you'll actually see more of that missed text, but it's still quite limited. And I'm not suggesting that we're going to be able to reply to missed emails within that email on your phone.
Right.
But well, maybe. I don't know. If it's driven by the email address and you just reply to that message, then maybe you can add to that thread. What do you see there, Daniel?
I think that's kind of the sweet spot where I would want it to be, right? Is if you could reply from that to be able to say, I want to reply to this message. You know, if it's one message, you know, just reply to the email. I don't know. I hope that it works that well. I hope it's fluid that way.
It's funny how Yammer fought so hard to you know, get rid of this ability because they were not getting as many people into the platform because people were interacting almost entirely from email and participating in Yammer threads from that. So they gradually eased that out, and now we're seeing teams ease this kind of functionality in. Interesting. Very interesting. So that, yeah, those are my two favorites as well. But yeah, looking forward to seeing that starting in mid-January, complete the rollout in early February, and it'd be interesting to hear what people have to say about that and how it improves their communication.
I agree.
We have retention labels, proof of disposal records, disposal for records, MC198154.
Yeah, and it's basically, so if you're using labels to declare items as record, you'll be able to see those labels in the disposition tab in records management. So I like that, to be able to actually see those labels. And I'd like to get some feedback for, I don't use retention labels all the time. I would like to see some feedback on those that do, part of the community and part of Recording 365. I know we have some that do as well. So I'd like to see some feedback on that. But it is more insight to the way this is being used, I think, is way better than, you know, not being able to tell what's going on.
Yeah, it's all about chain of custody for a record in this case, isn't it? To say that I haven't interfered with a record, and then at this end of the life cycle, here I have disposed of the record, here's the receipt for that. And being attached to the retention label means that it's easier to organize.
That's right.
I know that Joe would this would definitely be her, Joanne Klein.
Oh, yeah.
She'd be all over this. There's a blog post probably out there now already, so go check out her blog. finishing off with an updated feature of new account management experience within Microsoft 365's Admin Center. So an update to the Admin Center. Hey!
Yay!
The new experience, I think we might actually find it here in additional information.
This is all about the, when you go to view account in the link in the Office portal header, you'll be redirected to this, you know, the new experience. And I feel like we've talked a little bit about this before that it was coming, but being able to give that, I like the tighter integration in that before it was a separate landing spot. And really wasn't, I felt like it was different. I felt like it was more like office.com, not the Office 365 part, but, you know, what your, you know, consumer side. And so this is being able to really get, it's a different look and feel, but give you that combined Azure Active Directory account experience for you. So
I'm going to correct myself, Daniel. This is not the Admin Center.
No.
Update. This is your experience of administering your account.
It's the admin center for you. So it's you administering yourself. Administering yourself. Anyway, you know, it's resetting password, That kind of stuff, entering your security information, stuff like that.
Yeah, and entering security information. That's going to be a popular one as more organizations are implementing multi-factor authentication.
MFA, yeah.
This is one place that you can go and manage that process, potentially even enroll. But the short link too, if you're familiar with that, aka.ms/MFA setup, is often where people get sent to go and enroll and set up their devices. But yeah, that's the updated experience. Very card-like, and definitely a good experience. So that brings us to the end of our messages, and we coming to summertime here in New Zealand, and this southern hemisphere. I wonder, like, did I try and cover you while you were having your holidays? Is Daniel going to
I
try
think
and push
so.
on through and maybe do a message center episode or two on his own? Did I drop you in on
Stay tuned to find out.
it? Let's have a family conversation with all our followers and our
Make sure.
audience. This
Right.
is an open table discussion.
Is
Let
it
us
now?
know if you want Daniel to do an additional episode.
I think what we need to do is we need people to subscribe to our YouTube channel as well as subscribe to the audio podcast at messagecenter.show. And then once they do subscribe, then they'll automatically get those alerts, whether it's the video or audio, get those alerts of our show happening.
Have a great week, and we'll see you again on the next show. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.